I am a delighted even to be joined on the line by the lovely Amy Fogarty. Amy is a Preparing for Life therapist with the Northside Partnership. And they are going to be very, very busy because they have three free workshops coming up. And Amy is going to chat to me about them this morning. Good morning, Amy, and welcome back. Lovely to talk to you again.
Good morning, Tony. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Amy, as I said, this is a busy time for you. Pandemic or no pandemic, lockdowns or no lockdowns, the work of the Northside Partnership carries on, and you have three free courses. I love that word, free. And if people could see the press release that the Northside Partnership sent me, the word free is in capital letters. Tell us about it, Amy, please.
Okay, Tony. So in Preparing for Life, we always offer a suite of different parenting programs like Triple P and Circular Security and the like. But at the moment, we have something a little bit different. So over the past few months, we've noticed a bit of an increase in the inquiries for therapeutic services for younger children. And the general reasons have been anxiety and high emotionality and behaviours that parents have been finding difficult to manage at home throughout the past few months. So in the Northside Partnership, we offer a very small referral-based therapeutic practice. And again, throughout this past few months, we wanted to create some sort of holding space for families who were waiting to either access our services or other local therapy services, or families just simply wanted to learn more about big feelings, the brain, behaviour and developmental play, because that's exactly what the course is that we have come up with. The workshop consists of there's three different workshops that are designed around neuroscience, parent-child relationship therapy and play therapy. So they basically contain the most discussed information that we'd have come up in parental reviews for play therapy. So we begin the course by discussing big feelings. What are they? What are emotions? And why do we have them as humans? And the big feelings that come up for young children are often difficult for adults to understand. It's difficult to grasp why your child might become hysterical because they've knocked over a tower of blocks or Lego, but it's very easy for us to empathise with, say, another adult who might have put in a great deal of work into something on Microsoft Word, for example, and then it turns out that their document doesn't save or the computer crashes. But the basic fact of the matter is that the two incidents create that same physiological response in our bodies. So both the adult and the child get that same punch in the gut feeling, that same kind of panic, that same dread over having to start all over again, the same intense frustration and probably the desire to shout, God only knows.
But so Amy, can I just ask you there, is that, and I'm going to use a very big word here and I barely know the meaning of it, could that be psychosomatic or somatic, whatever way you want to pronounce it, of maybe another problem that's actually causing this, what we might describe as an overreaction to something pretty simple, that this might be symptomatic of another underlying issue that we don't know about? And I'm thinking particularly in the context of small children, because they are they're obviously picking up on everything that's going on, and you know, they may be worried about granny or granddad or Uncle Albert or whatever, you know, that they may get sick and die. So could this overreaction be a reaction to something else that we should be maybe paying more attention to?
But I always say that children who can go, and I quote, from 0 to 90 in a few seconds, they're never going from 0 to 90. They're always going from 80 as their starting point. But yeah, absolutely. Those kind of really big reactions are usually, there's more things than just the tower falling over. Absolutely. And we talk about that a good bit over the workshop series. So it's a series of three workshops. And in session one, we begin by looking at what emotions are. But we very quickly, and this is very related to your point, go on to talk about a simplified version of the human brain. And it's a model called the triune brain. And we look at some ways to engage the brain when there are those really big feelings are involved, as opposed to enraging it. So session one is very much so about calming the nervous system. it's only through thousands and thousands of repetitions of being calmed or co-regulated in the presence of another person that children learn how to self-soothe themselves. And it's not until the age of at least 7 years that you'd be expecting a child to, with any sense of consistency, self-soothe or regulate themselves. And sometimes when parents hear this, it's kind of a relief, like, oh, okay, he's five, so he shouldn't be expected to self-soothe or regulate his own emotions or behaviour yet. So in that first workshop, we look to understand children's behaviours, particularly in light of the pandemic, and develop empathy for some of those behaviours that we as caregivers often find quite difficult.
And the other side of it then, Amy, is should parents maybe, when they're at home, and I mean, it's a very, you know, depending on living conditions, and God knows we have all sorts of living conditions now, but should parents maybe be a little bit more, I won't say reserved or thoughtful, but just maybe think before they talk about what's going on at the moment in order to try and reduce the worry? Because as we know, Amy, children are like sponges. They pick up everything and they mull it over in their brain. They may not talk about it there and then on the spot, but they certainly mull it over, and they could be digesting this for ages before, as you say, they go from 0 to 90, when in fact they're only going from 80 to 90.
Very possibly, but now that a lot of the children are back at school, it's a lot more difficult to do that same level of buffering that we were able to do over the summer and beforehand. And I have noticed, since the children have gone back to school, there are a few extra parents ringing up saying, oh, they're quite anxious, there's sleep disturbances, there's stuff going on that weren't there until they went back to school. And they loved school beforehand. They loved it. But there's just something else happening in their minds that hasn't quite come out yet. Because children, their first language is not words, it's play. And I know that we've talked about that before, Joni. So that is exactly why session two of the workshop series focuses purely on play. So we discuss the value of play, and not in that really typical educational sense where play is the most efficient way for young children to learn information and concepts. We talk exclusively about the psychosocial benefits of play, how play supports children emotionally and socially. And we do this by going through three different developmental play stages, which again are directly mapped to the child's developing brain, that triune brain that we discussed in session one. We discuss ways in which we can nourish our children through each one of the three stages. And then we go on to coach parents to speak their child's language, and that is the language of play. Play is the language of children, and as adults, we're no longer native speakers, so we need to brush up on our fluency. So one of the things that you just said there about stuff that might be going on in children's minds that might not be able to come out in words because developmentally they're not able to actually say, oh, I'm anxious about this today, it might come out in their play. So in order for adults to be able to sit down and really engage in that meaningful socio-emotional play, there are just a few little steps that we go through in the workshop series that can really encourage children to open up within the play.
Amy, sorry for interrupting you there, but just before we continue, I think it's important maybe that maybe you make the point or I make the point, but that one of us makes the point that from listening to you this morning, Amy, and I presume that there may be some parents at home now who are sitting down with their cup of coffee or cup of tea, having brought children to school and got a few things done on the way home, and now they're relaxing for an hour or so before they get on to the next part of their day, that it is very important for these parents to realise this is not unique to your child. This is not unique to your house. This is not solely a problem that you have. This is across the board with a lot of parents.
Absolutely. It's a collective trauma in a way that we've all gone through. And we do reference that quite a bit, that things have been very difficult for everyone as of late. Some people have been knocked around by the pandemic a lot more, but everyone has been affected in some way, shape or form. And one of the key pieces that we do talk about in the workshop series is the vital importance of parental self-care. And this is usually when parents check out a little bit and say, yeah, I'll do that when I have time. But I come at self-care from a very different angle, and I speak about self-care as being a vital parenting skill that we need to all practice. It's our duty to care for ourselves. Caring for the self isn't selfish, because when you care for yourself, you're then in turn able to give more to your child and to your family. So we also discussed the concept of being a good enough parent, but good enough never means perfection.
And good enough is actually as much as anybody can aspire to and achieve, I think, Amy, is a fair way of putting it as well, isn't it?
100%. So it's ditching that sense of guilt that you might have over the past few months of, oh, geez, I was working from home. He was just watching the telly all day, every day. My child was watching the telly a great deal at home while I was working as well. We're all in the same boat, in a way.
Yeah, and that is very important because, you know, it's rarely, very, very rarely, no matter what situation in life you find yourself in, it may feel that it is unique to you and that you are the only one with this problem or you are the only one that's going through this. But rarely, if ever, is that true. You may be the only one at that time, but someone else may have gone through that before you, or as we discussing this morning, Amy, there are thousands of parents all over the country in exactly the same boat as you were in.
And I think that's one of the really nice things about, obviously, the group can't meet in person. We are conducting our workshops via Zoom, but it gives parents a chance to just discuss, oh my God, this has been really hard.
Amy, can we, now that is what the workshop entails. Now, you are limited to 12 participants. First of all 12 slots still open? If not, how many slots are open?
There are a few still open. We do have a lot of people who we've already sent the registration form to, who are waiting for those people to send it back. But it's a first come, first serve in terms of once the registration is complete, the place is guaranteed. So if people were to contact in, there are still some places there. I'll send them out the registration form today, and if they're back, then they will have their place.
Now, the criteria as well, Amy, there's one, two, three, there's four different little bits or four different boxes that you have to tick. So we have taken care of the issue of the number of participants. Just go through the four little things there that you would need to, the criteria you would need to fulfil before you can take part in the course.
So essentially you have to be available on a Thursday morning. The course is going to run on October 15th, 22nd, and then on November 5th. So we're going to skip the Halloween midterm, essentially. It's going to run from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. and you have to be resident in the Northside Partnership catchment area. So that's kind of Dublin 5, Dublin 3, 17 and 13, loosely.
And the child, it's geared towards children between the ages of 2 and 8, isn't that correct?
That's correct, exactly. Most of the content is designed with the 2 to 8-year-old in mind. I know that's a big enough age gap. But we do have the tools that we give parents can be loosely used for all of the ages. So we go through a lot of breathing exercises, mindfulness practice for young children, creative ways to make your child feel more confident, self-esteem, whatever trait you would like to work on. We discuss storytelling for children who experience anxiety, bullying, parental separation, separation anxiety. We go through ways to engage children in big conversations through the use of toys and puppets. So essentially all of the tools that we talk about can be adapted to the child's developmental stage or their age.
And of course the one final thing which may put a lot of people at ease actually is that it is not set in a classroom format. It will be done online.
It'll be done online, and we do ask that you have access to a device that has a microphone so that you can speak to us, and ideally a camera so that we can all see each other.
And it's going to be done, I think, on a Zoom format, is that correct, Amy? So that,
that
everybody will be able to interact with one another. Amy, it sounds like something, a project which unfortunately, I suppose is the word I'll use, based on what we were hearing last night and what we may hear as the day progresses, it sounds like a format and a formula and a project which we will hear a lot more about going forward, because this may be, for some time, the new normal. What do you think, Amy? Yeah?
Perhaps, and we are willing and happy to run this workshop series for the foreseeable future. We will most likely be, we are running one in October, but we will most likely run one again before Christmas with hope, because as you were saying, I think it is really topical at the moment. And it's good for any parent of children between the ages of 2 and 8 to sit through, because they'll get something.
Well, I have spoken and lauded highly the work of the Northside Partnership. It never ceases to impress me. I am I'm blown away by the work you do up there, the work you are doing, and the way that you have adapted and worked around the situation which the people in the area find themselves in, Amy, because you have continued, despite many obstacles provided by COVID-19, you've continued to provide a service to the people of the area, and they're so lucky to have you. And I mean that for everybody up there in the Northside Parish. The work you do is fabulous. Amy, before we part company this morning, for people listening, how do they get in touch with, and how do they register for and become part of this course?
So if you want to join, just give us a call. The phone number for Preparing for Life is 877-1509. We also have a website, or if you wanted to send me an email, my email address is amy.fogarty@nspartnership.ie.
And that number is 01-877-1509, is that correct?
That's it, Tony.
Yeah, and I will hopefully give that out before I finish today. As I said, it's finishing a little bit early today, 10 to 12, but I will hope to give out both Amy's email address and that phone number before I finish. Amy Fogarty, I will give you your full title. Preparing for Life Play Therapist with the Northside Partnership. Amy, thanks you so much for joining me this morning. And again, on behalf of everybody listening, and indeed on behalf of everybody here at Near FM, can I thank you and your team for all you're doing for the people of the community. Thanks a million, Amy.
Thank you, Donny.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.